We've been studying through the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm not going to preach a whole sermon here by any means. I don't want you to think that. Almost. We've been in it for a year and 3-4 months, and I almost lined it up with getting Palm Sunday right. But really, we're not going to be there for another one or two sermons. We've reached in our study Matthew. We've reached Matthew chapter 20, and if you've been with us, you saw the last time we were looking at lane lookers, and Peter was a lane looker. And we've reached a passage of Scripture that really puts us where we are. There was a song that was just sung, and I'm going to reflect on the words in just a second, asking questions about Jesus. But the questions, if you've been here with us in the last several weeks, the questions that the enemies, the Pharisees, are asking are very different. The questions the song asked were very deep. The questions the Pharisees asked were very shallow and selfish. And so the Pharisees were asking questions like, who would tell a wealthy, young, impressive, successful, law-abiding man that he's not going to inherit eternal life? And then take a child who's done nothing and is insignificant in their society and put him in front of us and say, you have to come like this child to inherit eternal life. They were asking, who would say that? It's so hard to understand grace. It's so hard to understand the song that Steve sang. It's all finally gone. They were offended at Jesus because they had no idea who Jesus really was and what he really came to do. Because when you see that, when you see his plan of salvation unfolding, your question is no longer the questions they were asking, kind of selfish and shallow. Well, your questions become much more mind-blowing and staggering and hard to conceive and hard to believe. Questions like the song that Sharon just sang a little bit back, right? About this man. Who bears our shame and guilt, the burden on his back? Who else would choose to walk the scorned and cruel path? Who would do that? What kind of king would bend so low to make himself a servant? What kind of king does that, right? Questions that go much deeper. Who else would enter in to face the grave so dark and bitter? Who would do that? Who would do it is the person who said they would do it. And we had left off in our study of Matthew in chapter 20, right after the parable of the laborers in the vineyard in verse 16, and Matthew follows with that. I'll tell you who would do such things, the person who told us he would, and we just didn't understand it. For Matthew chapter 20 and verse 17 says, and as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up. See, the answer is, who would do that? Jesus tells you who would do it. I will do it, Jesus says. Do you believe that? I mean, today, does it really? We believe it doctrinally. We agree that But in that sense of the depth of where you are in a technological world, in a world where people all were here, people, I have the right to this. I've been neglected. We're just, that's our humanity. My rights. And there's, believe me, we need to care about those who have been oppressed. And as believers, we need to seek to care for that and bring justice. But we live in such a world of self. Do you believe in this world that the God of all creation, who right now, and we know, Lord, we're talking to you right now, it's stunning to us, that the God, the only true God who's holding everything together, that he truly, personally sent his son to do that for you? Do you believe that? That the God of all creation really chose that plan? He really sent his son to suffer for you. Jesus really is the one who said, yes, I'm the eternal God who's always existed. And yes, I came and walked this earth and took it all upon me. Because when that really sinks in, you're no longer saying, who are you to tell me that I should follow you? Who are you to tell me that I should obey your command? Your questions become, who are you that you should choose to be scorned and suffer for me? Who are you that you would do that? He's the one who said he would. He's Jesus, the one whose name is above every name. And when you believe it, it transforms you. Because you still may suffer and you still may have difficulty and you still may have moments of human panic, but they can all be responded to with the reminder of, wait a minute, that's who my God is. That's who has promised me, Vincent. Listen, the God of all creation has promised that he says, Vincent, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always. Because of Jesus, I'm clothed in love and grace. My sin does not define me. It has all been washed away. I'm held in perfect peace. His covenant is keeping me. Jesus has been all that he said he would be. He holds tomorrow in his hands. The chains of fear fall at my feet. Gone is the curse's hold on me. And when we meet on heaven's shore, we will say goodbye no more. Only death will pass away. Gone are the tears of yesterday. All I was and all I've done by his grace is finally gone. No one else can do that for me. No one.